Let us read from God's holy word from the first epistle general of John and chapter 4. The first epistle general of John and chapter 4. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in this world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth us not. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and every one that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Saviour of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. The reason I have read that sacred passage this evening was during the night I woke, and as I woke, it came so powerfully to me that the very nature of our God is love. It is man that hath kindled his wrath. And I thought immediately of this sacred chapter. Now, there's just one or two things I just want to briefly name. Firstly, it seemed to strike me so powerfully, thinking of it during the night season, how he commences it, beloved. And so many times throughout the chapter and throughout these epistles, he speaks, dear John, to those of God's dear children that he has such a union and love to, he could well call them beloved. They were loved of God with an everlasting love. And may the Lord sweetly come to each of our souls tonight, as he did to dear Jeremiah, and whisper those precious words, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. And you know, we cannot keep alive our own soul. We cannot give ourselves love to God, is because he first loved us, as we read in the lesson. We love him because he first loved us. And it is because he loves his dear children, he calls them by his grace. And because he loves them, he will reveal himself to them as their saviour, their redeemer, their all and in all. But just going back to that first verse, he says, beloved, believe not every spirit. But then he gives the gracious exhortation. It seemed to so rest upon me, but try the spirit, whether they are of God. Now, you know, we need continually to try the Spirit, and we cannot do it ourselves. But as the Lord gives us enabling grace, as he gives us the desire to be right for time and for eternity, we want real things. We want those things that are of the Spirit of God. And, oh, may we have more and more that exercise, as many of our godly forefathers did, try the spirits and see if they be of God. And, you know, all in all that real exercise, there'll be a continual trying of the spirits to see if the thing be of God. We read in the Acts of the Apostles, don't we? If the thing be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, but if it be of man, it will come to naught. I remember the day after we were married, Mr. Elson came to Staplehurst to preach, and of course we weren't there, but I remember my late dear grandfather saying, you know, it was the first visit of the dear man into the pulpit at Staplehurst, and he said how we had to try the spirits to see how the spirit would help him and how the Lord would work. And you know, there were many that never forgot that occasion. There was much exercise concerning his coming, much exercise concerning the ministry, that it would be of the Spirit and be life and power to God's dear children. And, you know, we need, and every time really, we go up to the house of God to try the Spirit, see if it be of God. Both in our hearts, in our worship, in our walk, in our conversation, in everything that concerns us. And well, I just want to tarry briefly on this love of God, love to sinners. You think of the love that the Saviour showed to those characters that were brought to him. I love that couplet of the hymn where the dear hymn writer said, "He will not send them empty back or fright them from the door." And, you know, all those that came to him, he didn't send them away empty, did he? Oh, no. They came because they were in need, whether it was in bodily affliction, whether they were tempted by the devil, or whether they were in darkness, or whether they were in deep distress. And everything they needed was found in a precious Jesus. And love was in every action of the dear Saviour. And oh, you think of that love he manifested at Calvary, laying down his precious life to redeem the vilest, blackest of sinners, that they might have eternal life, eternal joy of heaven when they come to the end of their days. And you think of the love there was in the dear Redeemer when he shed that precious blood. I speak here with great reverence, but I've often thought, you know, in the Garden of Gethsemane, see how intense his agonies were as he bore the wrath of God because of the sins of his bride. He knew no sin. We read that his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling to the ground. And you think of that. There are times when we sweat, but you think, and the moisture that comes from the body, but you think of the sweat of the dear Redeemer. You know, just one little glimpse of it, you melt the hardest marble of our heart, you know, to feel and to know that he shed that precious blood even in his sweat for his dear people. And then of course at Calvary, when the soldier pierced his side and there came forth blood and water. And oh, you think of that precious blood, and well, let's come right low tonight. Do we feel the need of it? You think of dear Joseph Irons' beautiful hymn, "'Tis Jesus, precious blood." And oh, to be found sheltering under it. What did the Lord say? "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." And may we ever be trying the Spirit's exercise of soul, that we might have the application of that precious blood, because it can cleanse the blackest, vilest of all sinners, of all sin. I've often quoted, haven't I, those beautiful words, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And you know, they can face the devil with that. He'll say, well, this sin's not forgiven, that sin's not forgiven. Cleanseth from all sin. And oh, there's the sinner's hope, you see. Nothing in themselves, but oh, all their hope is in their dear Redeemer, who loved his bride and loves her to the end. And then just one further thought, and I must leave it. But, you know, in love, he corrects his children. You know, naturally speaking, like a child, he doesn't like correction. We often look back as a lad when my father used to correct us when we were wrong, but you know, did things wrong. But, you know, that correction, he was done in love, and I look back and I often bless the Lord for that. But you think of it spiritually. We need correction. And what does the apostle say? Under the blessed Holy Spirit, whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. And you know, if we're his children, we shall know what it is. The times where he'll correct us. It may be under the ministry of the word. It may be under the reading of God's word. Solemn correction. It may be he lays his hand on us in affliction and trial and brings us into some deep places to correct us. Where would we be if we were not corrected? It's like a child, as much today, solemnly, why they go run riot and do as they please through lack of correction. And that's how we are, left to ourselves. But if we're the Lord's dear children, he will correct us. And he'll correct us in love. Love inscribed upon it all. We think of that beautiful word sometimes sung at the Lord's Supper. I've loved thee well, my child. And may the Lord whisper that to some poor soul tonight. And may we in all things do all things in love. Because if we don't, we do all things in vain. Well, may the Lord bless these few rambling remarks and bless that sacred chapter that we read, you see. Dear John could well write that. Why? Because he knew what it was to love his dear Redeemer. If ever a man lived close to Christ, dear John did. He often leaned upon the Lord's breast. And you know, the closer we live to the dear Redeemer, the more we shall know of his love and communion with him and sweet fellowship with him. Well, may the Lord bless the word.